Amen, church. Thank you, praise team, for getting us started. Please be seated. I pray God's richest blessing on you as we learn and grow in faith together. Tremendous scriptures that we've been reading in the Gospel of Luke. Such a great, great opportunity. So I was going back and forth across the bridge, right in the at the heat of the storm. The wind was howling, 1 o'clock, and I got my car's being blown all over the road, and I look over, and there's not a single soul jogging, walking, riding their bikes on the causeway, not one soul. It's the first time I've ever seen that. Right in the middle of the day, nobody. And the waves were so big, they were crashing, and they were coming clear up onto the road. So it was pretty, and there was one car there, and you could tell there were one person at each door. There were four people standing at the car with their hand on the door. And you know they're looking at each other. And you know what they're thinking. Are we really going to do this? But it was quite a crazy day yesterday, wasn't it? Pretty wild. Well, we are in still in Luke chapter 11. And as I asked the early church, how long have we been in Luke chapter 11? And there was this unison chorus of too long, too long. It's so important for us as disciples to learn what it is that Jesus is trying to teach us. You know, to be a faithful disciple, he's talked with them about how important it is to be a man or woman of prayer. And now he's talked with us over and over and over again about how important it is to know how to recognize the strong man in our life and in our society and how to know what to do when you come up against the powerful who have no ear to hear what Jesus has to say. What are you supposed to do as a person or as a society when the strong man is staring you in the face? And it's the lesson again today. It doesn't seem to escape us. He talks about it a lot in this chapter and in the chapters that follow. And so here's the situation. I'm going to read a text for you. We're going to read through the end of the 11th chapter, hallelujah. And I'm going to ask a couple of questions about the text, okay? The situation is Jesus and his disciples have walked into a village. And Jesus has healed a man who couldn't speak or hear. And one of the strong men, who is a political and powerful leader of the community, comes to Jesus and accuses him of working on behalf of Satan. And so what the strong man does is he takes that which is good and tries to make it evil. And then he says, if you're from God, prove it. And so he tries to manipulate Jesus into giving some kind of proof that he's from God. Jesus refuses. He will not participate in this. And so he goes on and on and on about the strong man. And he talks with him. He's going to do it again. And so in this passage, as we get ready to read this, I want you to recognize that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the lawyers of the day back in Galilee and Judah and Jerusalem, they're the strong men. They're the political powerhouses of every community. They're the ones who are the wealthiest. They have the most money. And so when they come on the scene, you should recognize that this is not a scene where Jesus is going to talk with someone who wants to listen. He is talking with strong men who not only do not want to listen, they want him to get out of the way, because they perceive him as a threat. And so he's just finished telling the disciples, listen, you know, you have within you something that's of God. Light the lamp and let it shine. And as soon as he's done, a man invites Jesus to his house for a meal. The man is a Pharisee. You should know immediately that this is problematic. And the question I want to ask, I want to see if we can get around figuring this out, is if in fact, like the beginning of the chapter, it says that Jesus did things because he knew what people were thinking. If in fact Jesus knew that he was being invited into the home of a man who really didn't want to listen to him and really didn't want to humble himself to Jesus' authority, a man who was really just trying to trap him and get rid of him, if he knew that in advance, here's the question. Why did he go? Why did he go to lunch? Why not just say, no, thank you? Why go to lunch? Companion question. Have you ever seen someone getting bullied? And if you have, what did you do? Okay? So we're going to read, I'm going to read through the end of the 11th chapter now. This is Jesus' invitation to a meal. Beginning with verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee, you should be booing now already. Boo, right? This is not a good guy, all right? He's a strong man in our society. This guy is a senator. He works in Congress, okay? A Pharisee invited Jesus to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness, you foolish people. May I have some tea?" I mean, we're at this guy's house for lunch. So far, how's it going? Right? Understand, I want you to understand what he's doing here. Okay, this is not normal. All right? You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked grave, which men walk over without knowing it. This is not kind language. It's not. And this has no introduction. We are in the door right at it. Why did he go in? Why not? Why does he have to do this? He has to do this. Why? So, somebody else who's also been invited to lunch is inside. The deck is stacked. Inside the house are lots of strong men. Lots of people who agree with the Pharisees. And so they're already on his side. And so inside the house, Jesus now insults the host, calls him what he is, and somebody else speaks up. Somebody else inside the house is going, "Well, I'm not going to let him get away with that." So he says in a very kind manner, mind you. One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." And Jesus does not say, "I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry." That's not a tactic. That's not why he's there. He's not here to make friends. He's not here to be in agreement. He's not here to compromise. He's not here to be in compliance. He's here to change the world. And the part of the world that most needs changing is the strong man. And he knows it. So the guy says, "You insult us also." And Jesus replied, "And you, experts of the law," turns right, looks right at the guy. "And you want to open your mouth? Anybody else? Anybody else in the room want to say something? And you, experts of the law, woe to you because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry. You yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets, you build their tombs." Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute. Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Whoa! This is not the nice Jesus we know, is it? This is strong language that pastors don't read in the church normally. This is language we need to hear in our society today. We need to watch how Jesus responds to the strong man and pay attention. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered and have hindered those who were entering. When Jesus left there, the Pharisees and teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. I bet they did. What's he doing? Why does he go in this room? Why go to lunch with these people? It's pretty clear he's got an agenda. I mean, from step one inside this guy's house, there's nothing. I got a question for you. Why doesn't he just wash his hands? I mean, that's the law. That's the rule. These guys live by the law. Why go in? First of all, why go in? And then if you're going to go in, why not just wash your hands? Why put yourself in this position? Why did he do it? You bet it was on purpose. Somebody's going to learn something out of this. Somebody's going to get something out of this confrontation. And I hope it's you and me. I hope we get this. Inside the house is filled with senators and House of Representatives. The whole place is filled with politicians who have power, money, wealth. They rule the city. They rule the world. They're in charge of everything. And they have been convinced that their way is the right way. They know what they know, and no one can convince them otherwise because, by the way, they make a lot of money doing what they do. And Jesus walks into this situation intentionally. He goes to this guy's house, and he doesn't wash his hands. Why? Why not just wash your hands? You know the rules. What's he doing? You remember 951? Remember chapter 951? He throws his shoulders back. And it says, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He resolutely sets out for Jerusalem for what purpose? To die on the cross. He knows what's going to happen. And what has to happen is these strong men have got to murder him. He's poking the bear. It's exactly what he's doing. He's poking the bear. He's making them mad. He walks into that house for the purpose of making them mad. Why? Because he has to die on the cross. He's making his purpose happen. Now, listen. You don't have to do a lot to make the strong man mad. He's already mad. Okay? You don't have to poke this hard. So there's more than one reason why he's doing this. Do you think that by talking like this to a strong man, that the strong man is going to be transformed? Just think about it. Do you think he's saying this so that the Pharisee will become a disciple? Have you ever talked to a strong man? You ever talked to somebody who's always right and never wrong? You ever talked to somebody who's always going to fix it and is in charge of everything? And everything has a place and everything's in order. They sweep their house clean because it looks all good on the outside and they think they're in charge. You know people like that? You ever try to convince them that they're wrong? Can't be done. Why? They don't want it to be done. They don't want to listen. And if someone doesn't want to listen to Jesus, they've already made the decision that they're not going to humble themselves to his authority. They much prefer owning their own power. So, I mean, he's pretty loud. This isn't silent, you know, everything's going to be okay, Jesus. This is in your face, toe-to-toe, strong man, let's have at it.
It's not the lamb, it's the lion.
And he is mad. Why? He tells us why. He tells us exactly why. There's this one verse that ever since I read this over a year ago, this verse has captivated me, and it's actually the reason I picked Luke to start with the red letters. Listen to what he says. Listen to how he talks about this. He says, this is verse 52, "Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge." The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Republicans and the Democrats, this is exactly what it is. It's just like today. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, two different parties for the Jewish people. One says go, the other says stop automatically, because that's what they do. And there's no discussion about what's actually right for everybody. It's just, well, you said that, so I say this. We think we're living in something new. There's nothing new under the sun, guys. This is what we're living. And so Jesus says to the most educated, wealthy, powerful people of the day, you have taken knowledge away from the people to whom you've been given responsibility. You see, if you have knowledge, if you're an educated person and you have knowledge, the only reason you have knowledge is so that you can what? Share it and give it away. Share it and give it away. You are not given knowledge to puff you up. You are not given knowledge to create a better asset line. You are not given knowledge to accumulate more property. You are not given knowledge to become wealthy. You are given knowledge to make other people better. Not the strong man. And Jesus confronts him. He says, you have actually taken knowledge away from people. What kind of knowledge? You see, a Pharisee had a responsibility. Their responsibility was to help the people over whom they were the shepherds to get from here to there. That's what a Pharisee is supposed to do. Help the people get from here to there. That's the knowledge they're supposed to give to people. How do I get from here to there? And what were they doing? They were keeping everybody here. They were keeping everybody right here. Why? Because if you're right here, I can control you and I can get more money and property. That's exactly what they were doing. And Jesus says, what you're doing is wrong. You're destroying people's faith. You had a responsibility to God to govern these people. And instead you used it for selfish gain. That's wrong. Now, this language that he uses, this language is strong language. And so I pray about this. You know, you guys, I think about this stuff all the time. Like, I'm like 24 hours a day at this stuff. And I pray. I had a tremendous men's Bible study on Wednesday night. Just off the charts. Good for me. We talk about this stuff. And I ask them, what's the most important thing? What's the most important thing here? And so we learn that it's important for us to recognize that Jesus goes into this situation deliberately. He pokes the bear. But also he says this stuff because he knows that someone out there is listening. It may not be the guy he's talking to, but Peter's outside the window. And Peter's going to go home and he's going to tell his wife, you're not going to believe what Jesus said today. And they're going to learn that Jesus has authority over the power people. Peter needs to know that. He needs to recognize that. He's listening. He's getting this. And so I go home Wednesday night and I start to pray. And I said, God, I would really love to have a real life, true, genuine example that I could share with your people of how this plays itself out in real life. And so what's happening here is Jesus is confronting the bully. It's exactly what he's doing. He's confronting the bully. And so I didn't recognize this until after Bible study. The word came to me and I went, That's what he's doing. So I prayed about it. And I said, God, I want a real life example of this. And so I actually had one immediately that very night when I got home with my daughter. I'm not going to talk about that one. But I'm going to talk about another one. Ashley's flat on her back, so she's not going grocery shopping. So I got to make the meal. I guess it was Friday or Saturday, whatever day it was. And when I get to make the meal, I go to Target like 3 or 4 times, okay? Because I'm not really good at planning. So I'm on my third trip to Target, and because of my personality, I'm not happy about having to make 3 trips. I'm kind of disappointed in myself for not managing this better, okay? So I'm in the Target parking lot, and I notice there's this old man getting some carts together. He's got the little machine. He's like 80 years old. And he's getting the carts together, and he's starting to drive the carts up into the through the parking lot and across and up into the store. And out of the store comes a young man in his early 20s and his girlfriend. And he immediately looks at the old man, and he starts to make fun of him. He goes, "Old man, pushing carts, I guess you have to have a job." And he starts making fun of this guy. So here's me. Here's the situation. You guys understand me. I've been praying for a chance to realize how I'm supposed to respond when I see a bully acting out in society. And I've just prepared this lesson for you. I've just finished thinking through strongman. So what do you think I did? Walked around and walked away? I got nobody to protect. My grandson's not with me. I have 3 life insurance policies. I'm good to go. Right? And so what do you think I did? It just came out. It was like instant, like non-thinking fool. I turned to the man who's peacocking for his girlfriend, and I said, "The only reason he has to work is because you're arrogant and selfish. You would never, ever think that it's your responsibility to help this guy. You're going to live your life alone." Turn and walk away. Yeah. It was out before I even knew what was happening. It was out there. And I didn't dare look back because I don't know what's going on back there. And I opened the door for the old man so he could get the carts in. I thought about that night. I laid down in bed. And my first thing was, like you, I know how you feel about this kind of stuff. Ooh, that felt good. Right? Ooh, that felt good. Only because the guy didn't beat me up. But it felt good. Why? Because we almost never say anything, do we? We see it, but we almost never say anything about it. I mean, we see it in our society all the time, but we are silent and mute about it. And I laid in bed thinking about it, and I don't know why, but I started to feel like, I don't know if you should have done that. I was a little confused there for a while. And it felt like, and here's the lesson in this. Why does Jesus go in the room? It felt to me like I did it for me. That actually kind of went through my head. That the reason I said something was because I needed to feel good about me. Doing something about that. You with me? It didn't really seem like I did anything to help the old man. Not really. Did I think that by saying something, I was going to transform the young man? What are the odds? What are the odds that he even recognizes any depth to what I said? There's only one chance he has. Only one chance, and that's his girlfriend. If she heard it and she said, "You should have never said that, he's right." If she does that, then maybe he'll think about it. But if she's a strong man too, they're doomed. They're not going to get it. So here's, do you remember, let's just assume that Peter's outside the window. And Jesus is like, woe to you, Pharisee! Woe to you, teacher of the law! You guy, you hypocrites! And he's letting them have it. And Peter's out here. And he's going, oh yeah. Give it to him. Knock him out. I've been dealing with this all my life. Put up that fist, bully, come on, let's go! Peter's out there, right? And he's listening. He's soaking it in. And he's soaking it in. And then comes his target moment. You ready for this? Garden of Gethsemane. The bully comes in uniform, sword drawn. What does Peter do? Let's go! Come on, let's go! He gets the sword out. What does he want to do? Chop that guy's head right off! That's how I feel about injustice. I'm like, I'll get you right now. That's just me. But is that Jesus? Is that really Jesus in me? And so I'm thinking about Peter. Do you remember what Jesus does with Peter when he does that? When Peter, woo, let's go. What does Jesus do? Grabs his hand and he says, Peter, this isn't your place. This is not what I want you to do. You should not be like this. Woo! That was difficult. Talk about facing yourself. So what do I want you to take home today? Well, honestly, we're surrounded by bullies. You guys know that. Our society, we live in a society filled with people who don't want to listen to Jesus. There's a lot of strong men attitude out there. Should we just go chop their heads off?
That was me. I didn't believe Jesus.
Yeah.
I made fun of Jesus.
That's right, Nadia.
No,
see, here's what I want you to take home. Jesus died to have a right to have a place. And he's the only one who has that place of judgment. No one else has that place. All I have is a light within, a candle inside of me. And I'm supposed to let that light shine. I'm not supposed to pull my sword out. That's not what I do. I want to. I'm ready right now. But it is not what I'm called to do. I have a couple minutes. I'm going to tell you one more example. This one, I ran out of time at the first service. Ashley had a rough week. Some of you who know her, you know that she had a rough week. And in the hospital, last Sunday she went in the hospital. Diagnosis, pre-MS, and she did a bunch of tests. And they put this one test, they put metal pins in her body and in her bones and shocked her to see if her muscles and skeleton were working right and together. And out of it, she got a staph infection right here. So she's laying in her bed, crying her eyes out. And Ezekiel's right next to her, and he's crying. And I go in, and she's mad. She says, I just don't understand it. I'm a good person. I'm a good mom. I don't do drugs. I don't drink. I love God. I do everything the way I'm supposed to do things. And every single thing goes wrong in my life. I don't understand this. And I looked at her. And God gave me this sense, this understanding. Ernie, this is the strong man talking. You got to go toe-to-toe with this one. And I looked at her and I said, Ashley, I've been on that it's not fair path. And I was on it for over 30 years. It doesn't go anywhere. There's nothing at the end of that road except loneliness and sadness. You're going to have to figure this out because it's not going to get better. It's just not. This is just the way it's going to be for your life. And you got a son sitting right next to you, and it's your chance to step up. You need to teach him what it means to be a woman of faith. And no matter what happens in her life, she's going to have hope. When you die, you want him standing up at your funeral saying, my mother was a great person. Either that, or you can go on down the path you're going down. You can stay in your bed. And you can live in your cave. And you can have your children wonder, what in the world was she thinking? It's your choice. See, that's a strong man conversation that a father can have with his daughter. Not many people can have it. Not many can. But it's one that we need to hear too. It's one I wish someone would have shared with me 30 years ago. Because you and I, we understand something about faith and the power of faith. And this is why Jesus grabs Peter's arm. This is exactly why. He says, Peter, this is not your place. You don't fight the battle like this. You fight the battle with hope. You fight the battle with peace. You take the gifts I've given you, and you fight this battle no matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter what happens. That becomes irrelevant. What is relevant is, are you letting the light shine to your children and the people around you? That is what I hope you take home. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we ask for your richest blessing on us. And we acknowledge, Lord, and we continue to acknowledge that the temptation to simply be self-centered and gain all the world for ourselves is always right upon us. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to defeat that attitude of me first, doing things for me so that I feel better. And help us, Lord, to be other-minded, and especially to be you-minded. Let your Spirit live and breathe in us, work through us, that we might be a witness of faith to those around us. We ask and we pray in the name of our Savior, our Lord, and our Master Jesus, who died that we might have life, that his Spirit might live in us, that we might acknowledge and know whose we are. We humble ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll take it. All right, so we're going to continue with our offering. There's a couple things. If you would complete this blue card completely, we're doing a new data thing with the computer. We need to know everything about you. If you fill this out for two people, please give us information for two people. That would be helpful. If you're retired, it doesn't help us to know that you're retired. We would like to know what you did when you worked, if you did anything. And also on the back, if you have hobbies, let us know what your hobbies are. If you're filling it out for your spouse, let us know what your spouse's hobbies are. That would be helpful. We have a weekly newsletter. If you give us your email, we make sure you get a newsletter. This week and next week are the last 2 weeks for our Go projects. So we have about 6 or 8 projects now. If you know someone, a neighbor, as an act of love, something that we can do to help them, even if it's sit down and talk to them. Let us know. This week I'm going to be visiting all the projects and kind of seeing what we can do and how we can connect with that, and let us know about that as well. And today is Brenda's birthday, so thank you very much.
I don't know.